Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be with you this morning. God bless each one of you. Sure do miss being together, but thank God that we have technology and that we can connect in this manner. I want to give special thanks to Brother Chuck Jones and his son Ben, and for Brother Robin as well for all the work that you guys are doing behind the scenes to make this possible. This is the day the Lord has made. It's a new day, a new beginning. We don't have to go back and reflect so much on yesterday. You know, as I heard someone say one time, it's okay to look back, just don't stare, because God has a bright hope and a future before us here. But this is the day the Lord has made, and we should be rejoicing and be glad in every day, as God is the one who is the author of life, and He's given us another opportunity to serve Him this day and to enjoy the life He's given us together. The title of this morning's message is Raised to New Life. God didn't come to patch us up, as we say, but He's come to transform us into new creations. Scripture reading is from Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went out and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee." The resurrection of our Lord was proof that God the Father had approved the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And without the resurrection of Jesus, we would not have a high priest, even at this present time, representing us in heaven. But the Lord is risen indeed. And in Hebrews 9:12 it says, "With His own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." In the Old Testament, the high priest once a year would have to go behind the veil to sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat on behalf of the people and also for his own sins. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But now, today, because of the sacrifice of our Lord, His burial and His resurrection, we have a high priest in the heavens who Himself has gone behind the veil in heaven itself. And He has placed His own blood upon the mercy seat there in the very presence of the Father. It says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11, "So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. But with His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once for all and secured our redemption forever." Without the resurrection of our Lord, we would be without hope because we would still be enslaved to our sin. But Jesus is risen, hallelujah, and He has broke the power of sin. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, "If our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life." Without the resurrection of Jesus, we would not have an advocate, a defense attorney representing us in heaven. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He Himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world." The angel asks the women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Now, if you were to go to an ancient city in Israel today, you will find that there are no graves within the city, because the dead were supposed to be placed outside of the city or outside the camp in the wilderness. And that was because the Jewish people were not to have anything to do with death, because they were serving the living God. He is the God of the living. And likewise, you and I who are in Christ are to no longer have anything to do with death, but to live in new life. Ephesians 5:8 says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Because in Christ, you and I have been delivered, hallelujah, from the power of darkness. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Colossians 3 and verse 1, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." The demonic realm is attracted to dead things, just like flies are attracted to dead things. And the demon-possessed man that we read about in Luke chapter 8 would hang out by the graves. He was known as the man of the tombs, by the unclean. But after he was delivered, he moved away from the graves and he lived among the living. Before we knew the Lord, we also would hang out with the dead, and we enjoyed dead things. But once you come into Christ, you are to leave the dead things and get into life, because He is our life. So we cannot be followers of Jesus and lovers of this present world system that's in rebellion to God. At the same time, a fountain cannot produce bitter and sweet water at the same time. Jesus said a tree cannot produce bad fruit and good fruit at the same time, and you cannot walk in the light and in the darkness at the same time. So you and I, as followers of Jesus, have to make the choice to walk in life, to forsake death, to walk with our Lord Jesus Christ every day, because He has washed us in His own precious blood. The highest price was paid for our redemption, and we are to live for His honor now as His followers. Peter says, for those who go back to their old life, it's like a dog returning to its vomit and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, this is an instruction to God's people, to the New Testament church. He says, "In what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Under the Old Testament law, they were not to touch dead things. We read in Numbers chapter 19 and verse 13, "Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord." Now, under the law, there was an earthly tabernacle where God's glory would dwell. Today, you and I in Christ have become the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles or destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." The body of Christ is His corporate temple. You and I are God's dwelling place, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So as to the body of Christ, and that's why it's important that we gather as often as we can in His name. Ephesians 2:19 says this, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So just as the temple in Jerusalem was not to be defiled or destroyed, the church is not to be spoiled or ruined by divisions or controversy or other sins. In Ephesians 4 and verse 1 we read, Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle and patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. God expects high standards for His people. Why? Because He gave His only begotten Son. He gave Jesus on our behalf, who died a horrible death on that cross on our behalf. And because we are His representatives here in the earth, we need to be very careful how we live, that we do not dishonor our Father. God's desire is for you and I to be clean. He wants us to walk in the new life He has available to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:15 says this, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do." Because Jesus is coming, folks. We need to prepare to meet the Lord. John chapter 5 and verse 28. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grace will hear His voice." All will hear His voice. "And come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." I know there are those who think that once they die, that's it. But the Bible is very clear that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We will all have our day in court. So today the Lord gives us opportunity to come to Him for mercy, to receive forgiveness, cleansing, and to be pure and ready for the day when we see Him face to face in all of His glory. Because every knee will bow to Him and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And to some, death might be a frightening thought. But to us who believe, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have nothing to fear if we have Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord said there's going to be two resurrections. The first one being the resurrection of life. In Revelation 20 and verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." That would be the redeemed, those who have been purchased, bought with the precious blood of Christ, who have come into covenant with Him, whose sins are forgiven. "Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Yes, there's going to be 1,000-year reign on the earth with the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are ready, we will also reign with Him. The other resurrection that Jesus spoke about was the resurrection of the unjust, or of condemnation. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, "I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." The resurrection of life will only be experienced by those who have been united together with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. As we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, "For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives." Hallelujah. "We are no longer slaves to sin." Praise God. "For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. And we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and He will never die again. Death no longer has any power over Him." Hallelujah. So as to our standing with God, if you're in Christ, we are seen as having died with Christ and having been risen to new life. And water baptism is a picture of this. God's sentence on this old nature The old man was death, not reformation. God didn't come to just improve upon the old or patch us up, but God came to transform us into a new creation. In Christ Jesus, those who have been born of His Spirit become a new creation. And that sentence was carried out when we died with Christ. Hallelujah. That is why you must be born again, Jesus said. You must come out of death and into life. You must repent of your sins and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. He is the only way, only truth, and only life. He is the only way to the Father. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Christ, we are risen with Him to walk a new life. Sin's tyranny over us has been broken, praise God. Now we are free to live for God. But God, Ephesians 2:4, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus came to give us life. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. As that old familiar passage, really the heart of the gospel in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To the repentant thief on the cross, the one who called out to Jesus, who recognized that he was a sinner, he knew he was lost, he knew he couldn't save himself, but he called out to the Lord and asked the Lord to remember him. Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself before the Lord. Call upon Him. Confess your sins. Renounce your sinful ways. Turn to Jesus Christ today and be born again. Be saved. You will receive a new heart, a new nature that will love God, that will serve God, that will honor God. Christ fulfilled all the righteous requirements of the law, both the sacrificial and moral requirements. And those of us who have entered into union with Christ have passed from death unto life. So it's by the gift of God's grace that death is now swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Why seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is risen. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is with me, no matter man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how, I know He lives. He lives within my heart. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. My friend, I want to invite you to turn to the only one who can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given up for you, who laid His life down willingly for you to pay the price that you and I deserve to pay, that we could go free. Thank God for His tremendous gift of life and His mercy that He offers us if we will turn away from our selfishness, from our sin, and turn to the Lord. We will find mercy. Let us pray. Holy Father, I thank You so much for Your gift of eternal life, for sending Your Son Jesus to die on our behalf. And Lord, I thank You that You are willing to lay down Your life for us, and that You open the door. Lord, open the way. The veil has been removed, so now we have access to the very throne of grace by way of Your precious blood. Father, I thank You that You offer to us forgiveness of sins. You said if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I thank You for my sins are forgiven this day. And God, I pray that You will impart to Your people, Your body, wherever we find ourselves this morning, God, I pray that You grant grace to each one of us, Lord. Lord, to lift our heads up above all the noise and the confusion and all the uncertainties of this present hour, to see, Lord God, that you're in perfect peace, God, and that you will keep us and you will guard us in your perfect peace, Lord, as we look to you, as we trust you. Father, I thank you that you are with us and not against us. Father, I thank you that you have given us this hope in Jesus Christ. And even as the Apostle Paul said so many years ago, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Father, I pray that you'd watch over each one of us. Keep a hedge of protection around us. Guard our hearts and our minds. Keep us safe and keep us healthy. Protect us, Lord God, from the pestilence. We know, God, that you are bigger than all these things. And Lord, in you we are secure. For you are our strong tower. You are our strong deliverer. Hallelujah. Lord, in you we have security. Hallelujah. And that we do not have to fear. For Lord, you are with us. And as you promised, when we walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Yes, Father, thank you that even in the fire, Lord, we are secure in you because you are with us. You are for us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Thank you, even this day, your mercies are new. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your willingness to pay the price that we could go free and we can be raised to walk in this new day, this new life. Guys, keep your eyes upon the prize. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's coming for those who are looking for him. We have nothing to fear. Amen. Because Jesus is with us. Hallelujah. God bless you and keep you. Feel free to call me anytime or text or any way you'd like. Okay? Take care.